Okay. Yud Aleph Amid Aleph. 11a1, the Mishnah. This is a very interesting Gemara, by the way. I mean, not the Mishnah so much as the Gemara. Okay. Agieres Vashvuya Vashivcha, a convert, a bourbon who was captive, or a slave girl, Shenivdu, that were either redeemed, Veshenizgaidu, or converted, Veshenishtachru, that became freed, less than 3 years old. Ksubasim asayim, the ksub is $200. The ashon tain is psulim. Therefore, the guy can tain it that she wasn't a psula. In other words, Mishnah says like this: even though these three people normally are not assumed to be a psula, nevertheless, because it was under three, even if they weren't, it comes back anyway. Like we learned in the previous gemara. What?
Who's that friend?
I don't know. What's interesting, though, if you notice the Mishnah, the order of the Mishnah is I don't want to say messed up, but it starts with Giyadis, right? Convert, captive, and slave. And then what does it say? That was redeemed, converted, or freed. It's not in the correct order. It should say a Giyadis, then it should say they're converted, then it should say redeemed, and then it should say freed. Why does it say Giyadis before Shvuya, first it was that.
Convert that converted?
Huh?
Convert that converted?
Yeah.
If he's already converted.
What's the question?
If he's already converted, how can it be converted?
So first of all, one second, I'll explain this in a second. The Ritva explains, because we go by the status. Giyadis, is a very high standard that she decided to become Jewish. Willingly, they accepted the Jewish faith.
My son has a question. Is what? It okay? Is it okay?
Yes. Well, if the Torah and Gemara don't waste words and they say everything straight with minimal words, then why does it have to mention a captured slave?
Because they have three different laws. There's three different types of people.
Right.
It's not this. It's the same law, but it's still three different types of people. Now, the Giyadis is mentioned first, because that's the status that look how great she became. Then you have a captive woman who's Jewish, but then she was captured by non-Jews. And the third one is a Shivcha, who was a non-Jewish girl that became Jewish. So that's the order of the three. But when it speaks about Shenivdu, because redeeming a captive is a great mitzvah. So because Pinyan Shvuyim is a very great mitzvah, the Mishnah mentions that one first. Then converted, and then freed. Now, the interesting question is, and we mentioned this in different times, in different things. Why does it say Giyadis that converted? It should say a non-Jewish woman that converted. Okay, so here the Ritva answers, it's interesting, the Ritva answers because there's a din. Once a guy converts, you're not allowed to remind, did you remember you used to be not Jewish? So because they converted, we want to use the word Giyadis. That's what the Ritva says. But we said the Chido says, and this is, the Rebbe brought this down constantly, the Chido writes, it never says Goyshin is Gayer, or is Gershin is Gayer. We learned many times, the reason for that is because a real Goy doesn't convert. A person who converts always had a Jewish neshama that got lost amongst the non-Jews, and therefore they're only coming back. So a real Goy doesn't convert. A person that neshama by Adam and Chava when they sinned, it says all that a lot of neshamas got lost amongst the goyim, and those were the eventual converts. And therefore, the din is, you know, you try to push off a convert, but once you see that they're serious, you're not allowed to push them off anymore. Why? Because this is really a Jewish neshama. Once you see they're sincere, it's a Jewish neshama that is coming back. And therefore, it's not a goyshen is gayer. Because a real guy doesn't convert, it's a Gershon is guy. Okay. And then he said like this. So therefore, under 3 years old, a convert, ksuba, and this, by the way, is a common thing, because a lot of times, let's say, people adopt a child, you know, from birth or whatever, and they convert right away. So they're a convert, they have a law of a convert, they're not born Jewish, but nevertheless, their ksuba could be Masayim, $200. She can't marry a Kohen. A convert can't marry a Kohen. Even if she converted under three. But the ksuba of a convert who converted, this is what the Mishnah is teaching us, because they converted under the age of three, or somebody bought a Jewish slave and redeemed her under the age of three, and then when they redeem her, she becomes a full-fledged Jew, so then the din is, the ksuba is $200. Oh, that's what they're going to talk now. It's the whole Gemara now. Okay. Very interesting Gemara coming up, and very, very practical in today's world. Amir Ravona says like this. Ger Katan, a get who's a minor, matfilin eisei al das bezdin. You table them, meaning you bring them to the mikveh, and the intent of bezdin. Meaning, I'll explain in a sec what this means. Now, normally, let me explain like this. In the conversion process, this is not so relevant, just general information. There's three processes in a conversion. Today we only have two. In the time of the Beis Hamikdash, there was three. Okay? A person, a guy who converts, if it's male, they have to do a bris, and then you put him into the mikveh. That's the order. It has to be first bris, and then mikveh. In the time of the Beis Hamikdash, what finalized the conversion? They had to bring a carbon. They had to bring a special carbon for a person who converts. Nowadays, we don't have a carbon. So it says, they're Jewish. By the way, when all the converts throughout all history, when Mashiach comes and is going to build the Beis HaMikdash, every convert that exists, or is going to get up from the dead, whatever, is going to have to bring a carbon for the conversion process. In other words, they're Jewish without it, but there's an obligation upon them to bring a carbon.
Did you say bracha when you give them a bris?
Yeah. Lamola segedim. One second. If it's a woman, obviously there's no bris, so then they go to the mikveh and they have to bring a carbon. Now, part of the process in the mikveh, okay, the bris has to be done for the sake of gedim, for the sake of conversion, and then when they go to the mikveh, male or female, doesn't matter, in front of a bezdin, they have to accept mitzvahs. So it's called, you need kabbalas mitzvahs. Without kabbalas mitzvahs, means that they accept all the mitzvahs, it's not a valid conversion.
What's the
carbon now? Nothing. No, it's a carbon that you have to bring. When the Beis HaMikdash will come, they'll have to bring it. But the Rambam writes clearly, and that's what the Gemara says, they're 100% Jewish, they just have an obligation to bring a carbon. So when the Beis HaMikdash comes, they'll have to bring it. Now there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no obligation. I mean, there's an obligation, you just can't fulfill the obligation. Now part of the Gedus process for an adult is acceptance of mitzvahs. Rav Huna coming along and saying over here that a kid's a minor, okay, it could be al das bezdin, which, and by the way, Rashi learns, okay, Rashi, this is a machlekes in the Rishon, but Rashi says over here, if you see the first, fourth line on the page, in Rashi, im ein lei av, v'imei haviyosel es gayer. Rashi learns, different than a lot of other Rishonim over here, Rashi learns that what is Rav Huna's din, a ger katan, you do al das bezdin, when the mother brings him to convert because there's no father in the picture. But the Rishonim write, according to Rashi, if there is a father, the father converts full-fledged. Now, this minor, we're going to get into details in a minute, but this minor that converts al das bezdin, is an argument also, we're going to soon discuss the details of this, if it's a rabbinic conversion or a biblical conversion. Okay? It's a conversion, the question is rabbinically, Tosfos talks about that, is it rabbinically valid, is it biblically valid, what type of conversion is this? But it's not al das bezdin, meaning, the kid could even be a one-year-old. So obviously you can't have Kabbalah's mitzvahs. Bezdin tables the kid, gives the kid a bris, and puts him in the mikveh, and the kid is Jewish. That's what Rav Huna is saying. So he said, but according to Rashi, this is only if there's no father and the mother is bringing him. Okay, that's what Rashi says clearly. So the Gemara says, Ma'akum Mashmalon, what is he teaching us a din? This chusulei, that it's a merit for a person to be Jewish, v'zochen l'adam shlei b'fanav, and you can do something good for a person without him even knowing about it. In other words, you could do something beneficial to a person without him even knowing about it. So in other words, the Gemara says, it's a schus for him to convert to Judaism. because it brings him closer to Hashem. Like he says, Olam Haba, whatever. It's better to bring him to under Judaism. So therefore, even though the kid doesn't know what he's doing, he's underage, Yud Aleph and Med Aleph. Nevertheless, it's a schus. So the Gemara asks, if that's what Ravun is teaching us, Tanina, we learned it already somewhere else. Because it says in the Braisa clearly, Zachin la Adam Shalei Befonet. You could do a benefit for a person in his absence.
Like selling his chametz.
Correct. Yeah. If there's no disadvantage at all, it's an advantage. And ein chaben la'adam ela b'fanav. But bad things you can only do in front of the person. In other words, not only, by the way, with chametz, if I find something in the street, yeah, and I say, you know what, oh, I'm going to pick it up for them. I'm going to give it to them. They acquired it. They don't even know about it. The chayyur to acquire something, you got to know about it, no? I have to know what I'm acquiring. The Gemara says, because it's a merit to get something for free, it's considered a merit, as a benefit, and he doesn't even have to know about it. But to do something negative, you have to do something in front of his face. You can't do it not in front of him, okay? So the Gemara's question is, why does Rav Huna teach us that you're allowed to do again without even knowing about it, meaning if it's a kid, right? Why? Because you could do something good for him without him knowing it. We learned that already. You could do something good with him without a person knowing about it. So Gemara answers like this. No, maybe for him it's not good. Ma'odetem, I would think. A guy would rather be free, not having any mitzvahs, not having any restrictions and things. So I would think, so it's bad for the guy to become again. Kamash Malon. So the Gemara says like this. The Kamalan, because we know, Evid Vade Befkeda Nichle. A slave definitely wants to be free. Okay? In other words, the Gemara says, can I acquire the freedom document for an Evid? Without him knowing about it. So one opinion in the Gemara says, argument remain the Chacham. One opinion says, yeah, it's good for him, he's free, not a slave anymore. And the other opinion says, no, it's bad for him because he'd rather be a slave because then he's not 100% Jewish. He could do whatever he wants. So, Hani, merely, that only applies, Rav Huna is teaching us, that only applies to an adult. The Tom Isa already tasted the forbidden world. Aval Cotton, but a kid that didn't taste the forbidden world yet, so to speak, Shchusulei, it's a merit for him, and therefore, you could do it without even knowing about it. Okay? So Rav Huna, by the way, this then applies today also. Okay? Parents adopt a child, a baby, right? So they convert the baby. But they don't wait until the kid's bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah to convert him. They convert him as a kid.
But aren't they supposed to tell him before he gets 13?
No, one sec. We'll see exactly what happens when they're 12 or 13. But the din is, today, that's what they do. This is based on Rav Huna's din. You could do it at that's best, meaning you don't need the kid's permission, you don't need the kid's understanding, because it's a merit for him, especially, as we'll soon see when we discuss the depth of all this, that especially if it's in a religious home, it's definitely beneficial for him to do what the parents are doing. So then, even though the kid doesn't know about it, you're allowed to do it for him. Okay? This, that the Gemara says, and that opinion, that an Eved would rather be a slave and be allowed to do whatever, because he tasted already everything forbidden, and, you know, he wants to do it. What?
What would be the other option, that if there is no dad, wait till he get like dad, then do the conversion?
They don't have to.
No, I mean, they think even though he doesn't have a dad, it still is better to do this. What is the other option? Just wait till he gets...
Yeah, the option would be to wait until he's bar mitzvah, or bas mitzvah.
That's what the answer is. It's better to do it now because it's a chut, yeah?
Yeah. It's also practical. And that you could do it now.
But then, like you mentioned, in the Jewish home, it's only practical to do it that way.
Right. But if the kid on the day, and we'll see exactly the details of this din, but in Shulchan Aruch it says, if the kid on the day of the bar and bas mitzvah say, I'm not interested in this whole thing, they're not Jewish.
No way, they can do that.
Really?
But today they don't give them the option too much.
But it's still applicable today.
Yeah,
they can still they can say, I don't want to be Jewish, and that's it.
If the kid will learn this Gemara,
yeah,
and the kid, and then the kid would say, you know, I really don't want to be Jewish.
He's not.
But the, well, the, we'll see in the Taisus and other Rishonim discusses the second the day begins, the middle of the day, the day after, day before, like exactly what is this? Like, but once the kid, once the kid, like for instance, I'll give you an example. If on the day of the bar mitzvah, he has a bar mitzvah party, you say, wow, isn't this wonderful to be bar mitzvah? And the kid said, yeah, that's it. Can't change his mind. Mm-hmm. It's like a regular ged who converts, yeah? And they're religious for even a week. And then they throw it all out the window. They're still Jewish.
Well, aren't you supposed to tell these kids before Bar Mitzvah that, that you can change your mind?
No, you don't tell them that. Why would you want to tell them that?
Because maybe they don't want to be Jewish.
Yeah, but then you know what happens? You know, the parents adopted the kid. It's not going to do
Isn't the point of this law...
It's not going to work too well.
Isn't the point of this law to allow... allow you to see whether this neshama really is Jewish or not? Isn't that the idea?
Yeah, but the fact that parents are taking this kid in, okay, and adopting or converting him, or you have other cases, you know, a guy married a non-Jewish woman,
yeah,
and then they become religious and she wants to convert, and you have little kids. So what do? You convert them all together, the mother and the kids.
Right. So what he says, doesn't it apply? You wonder if the neshama is really...
Yeah, but I'm saying if Hashem made Hashkocha Pratis that this kid ended up by you, it's obviously, you know.
So it's only if they voluntarily say,
correct.
I really don't like this.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. What?
I thought once a Jew becomes fully Jewish, they're not allowed to change.
They're not allowed to. But what happens if the guy says, I don't want to be Jewish anymore? Is he still
he
a Jew?
He's still a Jew.
Okay, that's what I said. But on the day of Bar Mitzvah and Bas Mitzvah, according to somebody, Shainim, only when the mother brings him. Because then it's not, it's a rabbinic conversion. So then he's able to say, I don't want to do it.
If the father brought him, though, he would be able
we'll
to
see. Do it. We'll see you discuss all the details of it.
But is it true? I heard that if somebody wants to adopt a baby, it's better to adopt a goy and convert it than adopt a Jewish baby?
That's for a different reason.
That's Yichud, right? Yichud?
Not Yichud.
It's true, yeah?
There is a plus and a minus of each one. In other words, Yichud still applies. All those things apply. The issue is something else over here. If you convert a Jewish baby, right, you don't always know who the parents are. Correct? It is possible, remote, but it's possible, that that parent had another kid. Correct? And also gave him up for adoption. Technically, it's feasible. Don't take pictures, please.
I'm not. I'm recording.
It's not pictures of movies.
Technically, it's feasible that a brother can end up marrying a sister.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a guy and you convert him...
No issues.
So even if the guy had two kids and they both converted and they married each other, al pi din is not a problem. I mean, you don't do it, but al pi din is not a problem.
It's an interesting concept.
That's the, one of the reasons that Rebbe explains that there's an advantage of adopting a non-Jewish kid. And also, you don't know, mamzer, you adopt a kid off the street. I mean, you know, especially when they didn't say who the parents are, you know, right? The question, maybe this kid's a mamzer. You don't know. You don't know who the kid is. You're finding an adoption agency, right? You don't know who the kid is. You don't know who the parents, most of the time, you don't know who the parents are. How do you ascertain the kid's not a mamzer? There's no way you could find out. But if you take a guy and convert him, there's no problem with anything.
What is the minus of it?
Huh?
What is the minus?
Still a Goyish kid that became a Jew versus a Jewish kid.
I feel bad for the Jewish kid because the Jewish kid is losing out because of...
No, I'm saying...
It's inconvenient.
I'm just saying there's a pro and con of each one.
Regarding the moms, you could turn the kid into a slave for 6 years and then he's a Jew.
No.
Why not?
That doesn't work.
After they go out, they're a Jew.
No, it doesn't work.
What if in the case where the adopted parents are Jewish, but let's say they're not religious at all?
So
how affected is the kid's
No, because then, and this was another debate in contemporary halachic discussions, a proper Bezdin won't convert a kid if the parents are not religious. Why not? Alpidin, according to Rav Huna's din, the kid could be converted halachically. Because a kid doesn't need Kabbalah's mitzvahs. A kid doesn't need to accept mitzvahs because he Matpil and Yisrael does Bezdin, right? But the pearl, what you're doing is basically is creating a Jew that will grow up not being religious. Think about it. Mm-hmm. You're converting this kid, so Alpidin is a Jew, and you're raising him not to be religious. That's a problem. So mainly there are many non-religious Jews, okay, but to bring in, like, people ask a question, why does a person who converts have to keep mitzvahs? There's so many Jews that don't keep mitzvahs. So why does a convert have to become frum? Yeah? So what's the answer to the question? Very simple. When you apply for a visa to a country, they make you take a medical exam. Your permanent visa in the country, right? You have to take a medical exam, make sure you're healthy. So the question is, there's so many sick people in America, so you need, why does he need a medical exam? What's the answer? Nebuch, we're stuck with the sick people, but to bring in more, that we don't want to do. No, really, that's the... that's the answer. The same thing, this that they're non-religious Jews, okay, we got to deal with it, but to bring in another non-religious Jew, like, why should we?
Yeah, but look at Ebola, you got to...
There's no Ebola. America finished Ebola. Today, as of today, there's no more Ebola in America. The doctor went home, and they had the mayor was over there in New York. Everybody's happy. Okay.
They
hug each other.
Even the girl from Maine, she's
Ebola. Everybody's free. Okay. Okay. The Ritva brings, by the way, the Ritva adds even more. It brings down all this at the bottom. But the Ritva holds that even, and this they don't do today though, that even, Rashi says the mother brought him to convert, right? To Bezdin. The Ritva says even if a kid, 12 years old, 11 years old, 10 years old, on his own, comes to Bezdin and says, I want to convert. The Ritva says if Bezdin sees the kid, knows what he's doing, they'll convert him. Today they're not going to do it because the kid's being raised in a non-Jewish home.
Mm. But back then?
I just had this case. Somebody called me as they have a 16-year-old person that really wants to convert. The parents are both goyim. He started going to a Chabad house, wherever it was, and he really wants to convert. And the kid is, you know, I told him, I don't know conversion, but I told him, speak to him, they're not going to convert the kid. He's living at home with tray for food, with no Shabbos, with everything. When he moves out of the house,
that's a different story.
At 18 or at 20 or whatever, when he moves out of the house and lives alone, then Bezdin will think of converting him. But how can Bezdin convert a kid, even though he's very sincere, but you know what it is to be religious when his house is both goyim?
Right.
No Shabbos, no kashrus, no Pesach, no nothing. I mean, like, how's he gonna live?
What if it's an emancipated minor? Meaning
there's plenty of those today, right?
Well, people who are wealthy enough to live on their own, kids who are stars, actors. And
okay,
like that.
No.
What about that? If they want to be Jewish, that's
they're
okay.
Not going to do it to me. Until they're on their own.
Right, they're on their own. Okay. 16, 18, but they're like stars. They have millions of dollars.
I'll give you another example. With this, Jewish, by the way, there's a lot of cases. I mean, practically, this tomorrow over here, you have a case: a father is Jewish, the mother's not. They had kids, correct? Okay.
Not Jewish.
The kid's not Jewish, correct. Now the parents split. Okay, he's a guy that became religious. The father, let's say, became more religious. Okay? So he divorced his wife. And now the father wants to convert the kid. Very common, by the way. Very, very common. Just think about it. It's a very common case. Okay. Now, what's the problem? If they have joint custody... let's say, 2 weeks the father, 2 weeks the mother, or 1 week the father, 1 week the mother... So how's Bezdin going to convert the kid? When he's with the mother, what's he going to do?
He's going to be a goy.
He's going to be a goy. Half Jew, half goy.
Yes.
Half Jew will travel. So this is a problem. So Bezdin, a lot of times, I'm talking about Frum Bezdin that does things right. You tell him, listen, either when the father gets full custody, by the way, when the father gets full custody, in many cases, the father gets full custody, so then they will convert the kid. Because how often does he go to the mother? It's not the full, and if the kid wants to be, he could work it out, whatever. Right. No, these are all just very common cases of why a Bezdin would convert or not convert.
Curious, if the father got full custody of him when he was 11 years old, and then the kid at 13 says, I'm not really so happy about this, can he go?
Yeah.
He can, right?
Yeah, like we said.
He can verse at 11?
Well, we'll see. If the father brings him, we'll see.
Okay.
I'm
referring to a conversion at 11 years old, when the father takes full custody, and then he decides, at bar mitzvah, he says, I don't want to be Jewish.
I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then he's not. It's al das bezdin.
Really, even at 11 years old, he was converted.
It's only an under bar mitzvah, according to bezdin, doing it. The kid doesn't have the maturity of his own to do it.
So he can leave if he wants.
Right.
But the father took custody of him.
here, one second. Okay. Rashi states that what does it mean this kid is Jewish? Let's analyze. You say now, you table the kid under bar mitzvah, you make him a Jew. What does it mean? He's not obligated to mitzvah, anyway, he's a kid. So Rashi says, the child does not prohibit wine by touching it like a guy does. Since this prohibition is merely rabbinic, Rashi words indicate that he considers the conversion valid only on a rabbinic level, and valid only in regard to rabbinic laws. That's the way some achreinim learn Rashi. Taisis, that we're going to, the stop tesis, we're going to learn him at Hashem, cites a similar view in the name of Dri, but nevertheless maintains that Avona holds a rabbinic convert would be allowed to marry a Jew for a reason given. According to tesis, this kid who's a rabbinic convert can marry a Jew. Tesis says that even if the conversion is only rabbinically valid while the child is a minor, it becomes biblically valid once he becomes an adult and wants to stay Jewish. I mean, even if you hold this rabbinic conversion under bar mitzvah is rabbinic, but Taisus says one thing is clear, that once the kid bar mitzvah and wants to be Jewish, then he's 100% Jewish biblically.
What is rabbinic?
Huh?
What is the rabbinic?
Rabbinic conversion means, when it comes to rabbinic halachas, he has a din like a Jew. Like if a guy touches your wine. Not pours it from Avodah Zarah. A guy touches wine, you're not allowed to drink it, yeah? That's rabbinically forbidden. Stam Yenim, right? Uh-huh. So Chacham say, for this he's Jewish. I mean, there isn't that much biblical, because you can't count it for minyan anyway, he's a kid. You can't, he's still a kid. And he says, one second, Rashi ben Rifa hold, conversion is biblically valid, even while he's still a child. That means the Ritva, he says, Taisus implies that also, that Rashi holds the conversion of a kid under bar mitzvah is only rabbinic. Therefore, it's only valid for rabbinic things under bar mitzvah. Once he accepts it as an adult, he's 100% biblically Jewish. And the Ritva and Taisus say, no, even when the kid is converted as a kid, it's a biblical conversion.
What's the halacha
about? What is the halacha? It's about differences
in it. Yeah, but what's the difference? So he doesn't need to become bar mitzvah to accept or not. I mean, if it's below 12.
No, even if it's biblical, like all the other Rishayim that holds biblical, they all agree that when the kid's bar mitzvah, you can throw it off.
Right. But there's no nafka mina between before or after. Just accepting or refusing. Besides accepting,
no, because
no,
because it's still, he can still push it off.
So what is accepted as a rabbinic or a biblical for
the kid? Here, when they become the age of 13 for a boy, 12 for a girl, and they have at least two pubic hairs, they may renounce their conversion and revert to being Gentiles. They are then not subject to punishment by Jewish court. If a man were to betroth a Jewish woman following his renunciation, interesting then. What happens? This kid married a woman, and on the day of the bar mitzvah, he said, no, I don't want to be Jewish.
And he's married.
So he's the guy, right?
And he's married?
So, yeah, he's married. So she won't need a get.
Yeah, he's married.
He doesn't need a get?
But the man...
Retroactively, he's a guy.
Well, so then the marriage is not even the marriage.
So she doesn't need a get. That's what he says. Here. If a man were to betroth a Jewish woman following his renunciation of his conversion, she would not need a get to be permitted to marry someone else as a woman married to a Jew who rejected Judaism. Rashi states, Rabbi Yisrael, okay, minor converted with understanding the court, a minor converts along with his father. Rabbi Yisrael speaks of underage converts in plural. Okay, that's a different thing. Okay. Now, why is the renunciation effective? If you think about it, a kid's Jewish, how can he just undo it? Correct? Mm-hmm. So he brings down, Ritva discusses whether a child's conversion is biblically only rabbinically valid, notes that its effectiveness is easy to understand if the conversion is merely a rabbinic institution. In other words, Ritva says, if you think about it, if this kid's conversion is rabbinic, it makes sense why the kid can undo it. Because that's what the rabbis say. Right. It's rabbinic as long as you accept it. If you don't accept, you undo it. According to the view that a child's conversion is biblically valid, okay?
So how
can you undo it? How can you undo this biblical conversion? How could a kid, by saying, I'm bar mitzvah, I don't want to, undoes it? So he brings down some sefer that says, because renunciation. That undoing it shows that it was never a merit to begin with for him, and therefore it was never a conversion to begin with.
Right.
Why do we say you could do it? Because it's a merit for him. Mm-hmm. Right? That's why you could do it without him knowing about it. Mm-hmm. But if a bar mitzvah he renunciates, whatever. He dies, doesn't want it.
He denies it.
Denies it. Yeah, let's speak English. He denies it. That shows that retroactively it was never a merit and it was done without his permission. So that's how you could even undo a biblical conversion, according to those Rishenu that holds his conversion.
Sorry, not deny, reject, sorry. My mistake.
So what's the view now? How do they view the child's conversion?
What do you mean?
Biblical or rabbinic? No, not
either. I don't know. I don't remember what it is. I mean, Laloch, I don't remember. Now, what happens? Some people, you want to say Rashi holds that when he renounces it, it's only from that time on.
Amen.
From the time he renounces it.
That means he gets all the merits.
So that means, he that means
no, in merits. Simple English, what would be if he touched wine a year ago? Uh-huh. Oh. And then, when he's 12, right? And then at bar mitzvah, he undoes it.
No, it becomes
it is not tray. The wine.
Is the wine tray for not?
Yeah.
So he says, no, Rashi says that the
it's all good.
In the conversion is not retroactively annulled.
Yeah.
And Miri brings down some Gainim that wine touched by a convert before he's is undoing it does not become forbidden.
Doesn't mean he gets all the mitzvahs as a Jew before his rejection of the conversion.
It's a strange mitzvahs? Scenario. In other words, there's Now we have the general, the bunch of mishmash. Let's analyze the situation. The kid under bar mitzvah can convert. Ravuna says because it's good for him. It says chus. And he doesn't have to know about it. Right? So therefore it's good. Now, is it biblical or rabbinic? We learned there's an argument. If it's biblical or rabbinic. Everybody says though, day of bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah is a girl, he can undo it. Correct? So if it's rabbinic, it makes sense why you could undo it. The rabbis made you a convert, and the rabbis say, if you undo it, it undoes it. That makes sense. But l'chayra, like we said, the question is, if it's biblical, how can you undo it? So Chassam Sefer says, because the fact that you're undoing it now shows it was never a merit for you, it was never a schus, and if it was never a schus, then it never happened.
Like the river that dries up, it was never
right. Happened. It shows retroactively it was never. Then you have another issue. What happens to the things he did before he denied it? Mm-hmm. So if you hold this retroactively no good, then the wine he touched was treif. The woman he married does not need a get. Think about it, because he was always a guy. If you hold this from here on, then anything he did from then
And she would need a get.
Then she would need a get.
How old was this person that got married?
Under bar mitzvah, which is another ishag in that week. But anyway.
Well, from nine and on, we learn.
Marry you now?
What?
No, because you still have to do kedusha. I don't know. It seems over here that the guy was able to do kedusha. I understand why. But that's let's leave that out for meanwhile.
Rabbi, if I wanted to marry this boy off before bar mitzvah, man, am I allowed to do this?
Come to the highest bidder. Sell them to the highest bidder.
Yeah.
Don't just sell them. Sell them better. Make some money at least. Marrying them off is going to cost you more money.
Yeah, I was recording that.
Okay, it's good.
Last time you said, the Rebbe said that the Chabad don't get involved in the conversion. That's why.
No, the Chabad didn't want Chabad, at least in California, not to get involved in games.
No reason?
Like what kind of games?
I could tell you a million reasons because it's so complex. And so,
why Dafko?
Why? Because, you know, it's a very big test. You have a big balabas. Yeah, your biggest donor. Yeah? His wife is a shiksa. Okay? And he wants to convert her. And he says, Rabbi, I want you to convert her. And she's not from, she's not interested in being from. Yeah? It's not a test not to convert her?
Yeah, it's a test.
It's a
test. Sure.
Because if you convert her, you get a lot of money. No conversion, you're going to lose them.
Why Dafko?
Right? You understand what I'm saying?
Why California?
Does she want to convert?
The Rebbe wanted, the truth is the Rebbe wanted it all over the place, but the guys do it.
The question is,
what did the Rebbe
you understand what I'm saying?
What did the Rebbe want?
No, the Rebbe gave a Hirah to California that he doesn't want the Chabad Rabbanim doing gators.
Wow.
In California.
I never heard that.
The Hirah was to California.
Why?
Wow. I just said why, because it's very, you don't understand the problem with this.
Rich people.
A lot of rich people.
And then the wife doesn't want to convert? Right. And the wife doesn't want to convert? Why is she forcing her to? The daughter.
No, the wife couldn't care less. What's the difference? She's Jewish, not Jewish. She's not from anyway. She'll do what
this rule, this doesn't happen by other Orthodox rabbis.
It does, but the Rebbe wants Chabad. It's 100%, not...
It's
all corrupt.
A high percentage of the world's wealth lies right here in Beverly Hills.
Right
here in California. Yeah. A large percentage of the world's wealth.
Anyway, so these are all the various, whether it becomes retroactively or not, and how they undo it. And there's one more thing over here, which is also very interesting. 1 second. Oh, yeah. Okay. Once a child converts, becomes an adult. I'm just reading another thing, because this is really in the Gemara later, but while we're on the topic. Yeah? If you should renounce Jewish practices at that point, he is treated as a lapsed Jew. In other words, on the day of the Bar Mitzvah, he didn't renounce it. Right? And this is another discussion in the Poskim. Does he not have to renounce it, or does he have to re-accept it? It's a big difference.
Same thing.
Right.
No. He can live on David by mitzvah. He's Jewish, but he's not denouncing it. Or does he have to know? No, now, do you really accept to be a Jew? Okay, but anyway. Did Yishenim ask,
but someone tell me,
how is it possible if someone converted as a minor to ever renounce his conversion? For Rav Yosef, later on in the Gemara, they can renounce it when they become adults, implying that before they become adults, you can't deny it. You have to do it when you become an adult. But we have now said that if they do not renounce it the moment they become adults, it's too late to renounce it. So now, the question is, as a kid, you can't renounce it. You have to do it when you're an adult. But if you live as an adult for a second as a Jew,
mm-hmm.
you can't renounce it anymore.
As a second?
So like, what's the time frame? What's the window? It seems that they have only one brief moment in which to renounce, which is implausible. It doesn't make sense. So Tais Yishonim answered, they renounce it by acting as Gentiles before reaching adulthood and continuing in the manner that passed of the day of the adulthood. So that the second the adulthood began, they're already living like a goy. Others answered, they have the right to, does not lapse for the first moment unless we see the person acting in a way that's clearly Jewish. As long as he has not done anything that only Jews do, he may still renounce his conversion even later. Whatever. So these are all the halachic, because now we can see the Gemara of Washington Tesis, exactly what's going on over here, so to speak.
We have a similar thing to a young girl who was married off by the father, and then when she's an era,
she can say, I don't want to be married.
No. That's only if the mother or brothers marry off. If a father marries off a kid under bas mitzvah, it's a biblical marriage. That's it. She needs a get.
It's a minui?
Miun. If the mother, if the kid's an orphan, you have no father, and the mother or brother marry her off, so then on the day she becomes bas mitzvah, she can also refuse him and she doesn't need a get.
Wow.
That's called mi'un, refusal.
What's the halacha? What do we do with them? Do they have to act
today like nobody gets married that young. Who cares? I mean, it's not realistic.
And if someone does?
Dach.
Mi'un.
Mi'un means refusal.
That's against secular law, actually.
Okay, but it could still happen.
But that's against secular law.
Secularly, yeah. If it goes against secular law, is it still good marriage or still conversion? Not marriage. A good marriage if someone gets married under bar mitzvah? In other words, Jewish people want to marry off their daughter
under
bar mitzvah, but it goes against the civil law.
Al-Pidin should be an Eishes Ish.
Huh?
Al-Pidin should be an Eishes Ish.
In Iran, happen like 9 years old, married.
Right.
No, if a father today, halacha, forget secular law. I'm saying, if today a father says to his 10-year-old daughter, I'm accepting Kedushin for you from this guy.
Right.
And he accepts Kedushin.
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah. The civil law allows
doesn't matter. Civil law says no.
Okay.
But she's still a married woman.
She's a Kedushin, not Arusin.
Arusin, Kedushin, same thing. Nisuin, she
no, I mean, what's the first one? What's
Kedushin.
Kedushin.
And Arusin, same thing.
Okay, so that's the first one.
Yeah, but she needs a get.
Okay, but they don't live together. I mean,
and if they live together?
And what if secular law finds out about it? That guy's a
trouble. Right. No, first of all, if they're not living together, it's not against civil law.
Yeah.
The guy accepts Kedushin.
Yeah.
It's
not against secular law.
No.
What?
According to the Torah, you're supposed to follow the laws of the land.
Unless if they tell you not to keep Torah.
Okay, yeah.
But that, if Torah law is stricter, then you have to keep the laws of Torah also.
Yeah.
So
you could go 9 years old, marry a guy 20, because he did a kedushin.
No.
That's against secular law, basically.
Only if they live together.
Mm.
If they live together and it's against civil law, does that mean it's automatically?
No.
So Jewish law still is upheld, even though it's breaking civil laws, American civil laws.
It's stricter. Yeah.
So it's still
good. Right.
But that guy can be arrested.
Because remember, I mean, I thought... Right, okay.
I think the father should be arrested, not the guy.
Yeah, but if they don't press charges...
Not only that, if they're not living together, you can't do anything about it. They're not living together. I'll give you another example, which is pretty common today also. Yeah? Couples married civilly. Only civilly, right? Mm-hmm. Then they divorce. The civil divorce is not finalized. Okay, Al-Pidin, is he married with that woman?
Only civilly married?
Yeah.
No, she's not.
She's not. There's no
Kiddushin,
right? Nothing.
There's Bia. You get married
now,
Bia.
Can this guy marry another Jewish woman halachically before the civil divorce is final?
No.
What about Bia? Live together.
Yeah, there are no witnesses. They're never from.
According to Jewish law or secular?
I'm saying in halacha. A guy comes to me, he says, I want to marry this girl. I don't have, my civil divorce is not finalized yet. Okay? Will you do a chuppah for me?
Rabbanim don't do that usually.
Why not?
Halachically, there's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Right.
Because first of all, any way you want to look at it...
You could have two wives in that case. Right?
No. He was never married.
He was never married, halachically. So therefore, he doesn't need a get, halachically, right? Or she doesn't see he was a non-Jew. Okay, a guy was married to a non-Jew. Okay? In the middle of the civil divorce, he became frum. Now he wants to get married to a frum Jewish girl. Yeah? But the civil divorce is schlepping. Yeah? And he says, listen, I want to get married to this girl. I want you to do chuppah. Now, the truth is, in civil law, there's also nothing wrong. Why? Because civil law doesn't accept a Jewish chassan as a marriage. Think about it. Civil law doesn't accept Jewish marriage as a marriage.
Oh, right.
Why not?
So it's not even legal.
So it's not even that he's married to a second woman, right, and therefore it's polygamy. Because according to Allah, he never, and that to live together, everybody's living together all over the world. Right?
Yeah.
So, and that the government can't do anything. It's not illegal.
Halakhi.
You can't marry a married woman, correct? Until the civil divorce is finalized. Correct? Mm-hmm. But you can live together with whoever you want. Mm-hmm. Correct? That's what they do today.
Right.
Yep. But the question is, can a Rav do that wedding? And if you think about it, halakhically, there's no reason why not. Number one, he was never married before to this woman halakhically.
Right?
Right? So he doesn't need a get. He doesn't need a divorce.
As long
he
as
only needs it because the law of the land. Correct? But even the law of the land, what you're doing is not going against the law of the land because it's not a legal marriage.
I thought that they needed...
What's that? But a lot of rabbis won't do it anyway.
I thought that they needed to get anyways, even if there's no official marriage.
It's a guy?
Oh, you're talking about only if there's a guy? Oh.
Or in a way that you got a psak that you don't need to get.
Why not?
Okay.
Because in the world of public opinion, it doesn't look good.
But
the woman will start screaming, hey, the rabbi married him off before we got the civil divorce.
Also, rabbis ask them to do the civil marriage before they do the civil.
Not before, before, during, after.
But
I do a lot of civil marriages, you know, the paperwork, a week, 2-3 weeks after they did the marriage.
So what about the case that they were actually married, he got a divorce, he gave a get, but civil law is not over yet, then he wants to get married again.
To whom?
To a Jewish girl.
Again, but he doesn't have civil marriage.
No.
The first one is...
He was married to a frum lady. He gave a get.
She had a civil marriage?
Yes. Civil marriage is not finalized yet.
Right.
Can he get married to another woman? Or do Rabbanim do it?
I told you, a lot of Rabbanim would do it. Some of the Rabbanim wouldn't do it.
They would.
Pulpit rabbis don't do it.
Jewish wedding.
Yeah, I've seen a lot. Our friends, I mean, there's a bunch of them.
They what, didn't get civil divorces yet and they get married?
Yeah.
Because I said, Apidin, there's nothing wrong with it. See, if they're afraid that the ex has a loud mouth and is going to publicize that the rabbi married. Sometimes it's not good for the image of the rabbi because somebody can blackmail him and say, look at this rabbi did. He married my ex before the civil divorce was finalized. It doesn't look good. Mm. Halachically, there's nothing wrong with it.
Right, that's why they don't.
And civilly, there's nothing wrong with it. But it doesn't look good.
That's why
but civil law is a big problem. Because if they married...
No, they're just living together.
No. If they marry according to the civil law, they have a certificate. And then the divorce. And the divorce is not finalized. If she wants to get married again, according to the city, he's married.
No, but the civil law.
Is not a marriage in civil law.
No, not the ketubah. If they, they are not furum, they just married. There's a problem. They are not no ketubah. They married like a civil
in
law.
In civil law,
yeah.
No, civil law, you can't.
You can't.
Right.
Oh,
but I'm saying chuppah.
Oh, yeah.
That's polygamy.
Yeah, that's no. They don't realize. They don't.
I just heard today on the radio the head of the Mormon what was his name?
Church?
Had 40 wives.
40?
40 wives. Joseph Smith. Had 40 wives. Today I heard it on CBS. And KLX. 40 wives. Listen to this.
Yeah.
And some of his wives were wives of some of his followers. And he even married a 14-year-old.
Well, that was 200 years ago.
So what?
150 years ago.
So?
But that's Joseph
Smith. Bad.
You know, but when Utah became a state, in order to become a state, they had to say we won't do it anymore.
I know all about it. No. Okay.
When Utah became a state, wanted to become a state, the United States government said you can't do polygamy anymore,
yeah.
and so Utah said okay, but some people still do it in Utah. In some parts of Utah.
Very cool.
But that's the only reason why Utah became a state, because they had to give it a polygamy.
Is it true, when they go, people to the bedding, whatever the pesachdin, the Jewish court, they accept that, right?
Only if it's binding arbitration.
What do you mean?
What binding arbitration means?
No, I mean like
come Sunday morning.
Zogam afiyadish. If me and you have a lawsuit,
agreement.
Yeah.
Disagreement.
And me and you agree that he's going to arbitrate the thing.
Okay.
And we sign a paper. Yeah. We said we pick him. See, we both bind ourselves to listen to his decision.
It's a bad thing.
No.
Okay. Just a stamp
anyway, okay.
That's binding arbitration.
Okay. Binding arbitration means me and you bind ourselves to the arbitrator, even one guy. Whatever his decision is, we're going to follow it. Okay? It's not a dintura, it's nothing. Goyim. Yeah? That will hold up in civil court. In other words, if you don't listen to the ruling, yeah, I can take the ruling that the arbitrator wrote in my favor. Let's say it's in my favor and you lost, yeah? And you don't want to pay. I can take it to court and the court will make you pay. Without even hearing the case.
And I don't even ask Micha.
At least you're Jewish.
And won't Beis Din say the same thing?
Understand?
The same thing by court.
Anytime you go to Beis Din, if you don't write, sign a binding arbitration, it's a waste of time. No Beis Din is going to do it. It's a waste of time. Whoever loses won't listen. How are you going to force it? How can you enforce it?
So the binding arbitration is that the Beis Din will be the arbitrator.
The Beis Din, when you go to Beis Din, it's a legal document that you
right.
sign in Beis Din that
words,
we accept these three rabbis, Rabbi A, B, C.
If they don't, then they can take it to court.
That's what, you know, it doesn't even say that there. So it does. It, some of them say in pursuant to the... So when you go to Beis Din, that's the power of Beis Din today. Because you make a sign a document that we bind ourselves to listen to their decision. And by the way,
which is,
I know a lot of cases, RCC, they gave a psak, and the guy didn't listen, and they let the guy go to court, and he won in court.
Mm.
The court, and the court enforced the psak of the Beis Din.
Oh, yeah.
Not because it's a Jewish court.
Yeah,
because it's binding arbitration. Wow. You legally bound yourself to that ruling, so you can't change your mind.
But one of the
litigants... Go to that mayor, could.
Yeah. If one of the litigants says, I want to change the betting, he can't he?
Not once the Beis Din started.
Wow. No,
why didn't the Rebbe during with the books, the fight with the books, go with the Beis Din?
The Rebbe went first to Beis Din. Got a psak from a Rav, and then the Rav, psak paskin, he can go to Beis Din to go to court, because the guy refused to go to court.
The Rebbe first
got a psak from a Rav. Yeah, it wasn't that what stumped the court.
So they first attempted to go to Beis Din.
They summoned him to Beis Din. He refused, and then they got a psak from a Rav that they can go to court because he refused to go to Beis Din. That's why they went to court.
Yeah. I always wondered about that. Well, according to Talushkin's, I was reading Talushkin's book also, he mentioned it also. He said it also is because that the Beis Din didn't have the power to enact a halt to the sales of the books immediately, and the civil did. Something like that. So they had to go to
No, they had first
in
a psak from the Beis Din, and then they went to... No, restraining order is not going to court, by the way.
Right,
halachically, if you're doing something, and I don't want to stop you, at least until we go to Beis Din or court,
right.
Going to court to get a restraining order... You know, it's not called going to court. Halachically, it's not. Okay. Back to the Gemara. There's a long tesis over here, which is very important. And I want to learn it. Let's try Rashi first. Aldaz Bezdin, I'm not going to learn it today, I see. Aldaz Bezdin gave the fourth line in Rashi. Okay, Imein Le'av, what's the Ravuna's case, so you can bring the Karakot and table Maldaz Beis Din. Imein Le'av, if he has no father, Vima, if he also this guy and the mother brought him to convert. But Bilam, he says, what does Rashi explain? Why is he speaking about Mikveh? The Ein Loch Ger B'Lei Milo Tvila. There is no such thing as a Ger without Mila and Tvila. Okay,
why,
you need...
Why the Tvila?
Part of the conversion is a mikvah.
Is that midoraita or midoraisa?
Midoraisa. For matan teira. There's two sources in the teira for conversion: matan teira and the story of Rus. Those are the two sources in the teira for the laws of conversion.
But Mila is because an Oral cannot come to Kahal Hashem. Is that right?
No, a Jew is born. A Jew is born a Jew and refuses to do a bris. He's still a Jew.
So what is the Mila? Where is Mila from?
The Torah. Mila is not there.
But no, for a
year. Father Abraham just did that last week.
For a year.
Huh?
For a year.
A ger also we learned by Matan Teda and
oh, it's by Matan Teda.
Matan Teda.
Ishmael wasn't a Jew.
Slaves, you give him a bris.
Well, you buy a goyish to slave because then he becomes a Jew. So you give him a bris, goes to the mikveh, he becomes obligated in all the mitzvahs women have to keep, meaning all the negative mitzvahs, all positive mitzvahs not to connect at the time, and when the eved is freed, then he becomes a full fledged Jew.
So can't you what happens if you buy a like
what? No, the Rambam says. From the Gemara. What happens is you buy a slave and the guy says, I'm not doing a bris. I ain't doing it.
You
have to let him go. Ram say you work with him a year to convince him and if not, you let him go.
Wow. Bad investment.
Yeah.
Can't you get rid of a mamzer status?
You can write it off in tax.
Can't you get rid of a mamzer status though if you do the same thing
no.
you
would? No, it doesn't work.
Why not?
It doesn't work like that.
Why not?
Because there's no dinner slaves today.
He fixed that loophole.
They always have a problem with this mamzer status. Why don't you fix it that way? I mean, so that way it's not such a big
Why do you think nobody's fixing it that way?
How come it's not?
Because like obviously it doesn't work.
Why doesn't it work?
Because Allah doesn't work today.
By Matan Torah, we converted.
Yeah.
So we weren't Jewish before. Like Abram was Jewish, Sarah was Jewish, all children were Jewish.
What was Jewish before Matan Torah?
Abram wasn't the first Jew.
What is the definition of a Jew before Matan Torah?
I thought the first Jew was Abram. Whoever born from this mother is Jewish. What is
Abram wasn't Jewish.
Esav was not Jewish.
No, Hashem. That's
what
we always
learned. Well, Esav
had always learned that the first Jew is Abraham and Sarah. Like
yeah, but what was the Jew before Matan Torah?
Nothing.
But it says Avraham Avinu was converting the men and Sarah was converting the women. Yeah.
No,
it says I know, but that's what it says. Avraham Rashi says Avraham Megaya Hanashim and Sarah Megaya Hanashim, the women. And Avraham, but then conversion to Matan Torah was the concept of acceptance of one God. That was considered a Jew before Matan Torah. One of the reasons we eat Milchiks and Shavuos because Torah was given on Shabbos. Okay, and before the Torah was given, they didn't have a full-fledged din of a Jew. Okay, they had a din like a guy. So the shechit that they did on Friday wasn't good for after Matan Torah. And Shabbos, you can't shecht. So therefore, they have to eat mochiks. That's the Rebbe's reason why we eat mochiks in Pesach. And
they didn't have the laws of shechting.
No, they had the laws. But the shechit of a guy is not good for a Jew.
Ah.
So Friday, Torah was given on Shabbos.
They
were still goyim. compared to after Matan Torah, there were goyim.
Wow.
They weren't Jewish. It's hard to
What's understand. The definition of a Jew before Matan Torah?
What is the definition of Jew right now? If the mother is Jewish, automatically is Jewish. No, it doesn't keep the mitzvah. Nothing to do with that. If the mother is Jewish, the children are Jewish. So simple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so simple.
Yeah. If the mother is Jewish, they're Jewish.
Then. That was after Matan Torah.
That was after.
So Sarah wasn't Jewish.
So was Jewish because Jewish before Matan Torah meant you believed in God.
They weren't a pure Jewish.
No.
Abraham and Sarah.
No.